Good morning. Today's daf and tanis Chav Zayin. We are in Chav Vav Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. We just finished the Brisa, going over three positions regarding duchening on a fast day. So, first and foremost, where are we? We're in the fourth parak here in Tanis. We're going over the halachas of a fast day. The first two parakim of the Masechta dealt with the fasting for lack of rain. Third parak talked about fasting for other calamities. And now, our parak is going to be focusing on other fast days that occur over the course of the year. We spoke at length yesterday over the Ma'amados. That's coming up today. A big part of today's discussion. What exactly are the Ma'amados? So I'll reintroduce that a little bit later this morning. We also spoke about fasting over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So there are numerous fasts that are established over the year. The Mishnah yesterday focused on two of those fast days, Shiva Sabatamas and Tisha B'Av. There are other fast days as well, but those fast days, there are unfortunately more than one event that we're fasting over. Five events for each of those days that the Mishnah records. The Mishnah went over them. And so, but in the beginning of the Mishnah, we talked a little bit about duchening. Why is duchening coming up in the Mishnah here in Tanis? What does duchening have anything to do with Tanis? So the answer is that duchening on a fast day is going to be done more often than it is going to be done on a regular day. On a regular day, so you duchen over only in Shacharis. But on a fast day, so you duchen even beyond Shacharis. In other words, you're going to be duchening later in that day at later Shemoneh Esreis. So I know...
There's still problems. They can't hear part of you. What you're saying.
Okay, so the... as I mentioned already yesterday, as far as the Ashkenazim are concerned, so we're a little bit lost in the Gemara over here because we don't duchen at all. But that's a mystery of the Ashkenazim, which I discussed a little bit in yesterday's Gemara.
Is that one of the reasons why by Lukah, we have a fast day? We say
Simchon. Right. In other words, right. We move to we do in the absence of duchening. So we do we say the psukim of the Birchas Kohanim, but we don't actually do duchening. Fine. So anyway, so we talked about this yesterday. But meanwhile, the basic idea is that on a fast day, so the Kohanim are going to be duchening not only Shacharis but also the other tefillahs. Now on some fast days there's Ne'ilah, so there's going to be duchening at Shacharis, there's going to be duchening at Mincha, and there's going to be duchening at Ne'ilah as well on a fast day. That's why duchening came up yesterday. And so for the beginning of today's daf, so just a couple more words on duchening. And then the good. And so we begin. So we learned yesterday that there are actually three opinions amongst the Tanaim on this particular issue. And of the three opinions, our Mishnah is only giving us one of the opinions. It happens to be that our Mishnah is giving us Shitas Reb Meir. That's par for the course. We generally say Stam Mishnah Reb Meir. And just a good example. Where Reb Meir Shita is that you're going to be duchening on every tefillah occasion on a fast day. Now, why every occasion? So as we learned yesterday, because on a regular day when we're eating, so Shacharis, obviously we're not eating before Shacharis, but after Shacharis, so you're going to be eating. And what's that meal going to be made up of? It's going to be made up of food and drink. And drink over there means hard drinks. You'll have wine during the meal. So there'll be a slight intoxication, slight inebriation over the course of the meal, and you can't duchen while you are inebriated. Now, how do we know that? Why do we know that? That's coming up in just a little bit. The Gemara just assumed that we know that information yesterday. Fine. So that's why on a regular day, on a given day, so the Kohanim by Mincha time are going to be under the influence. They're going to be their blood alcohol level is going to be too high for them to duchen. So that's why on a regular day, so they're not duchening. But on a fast day, so there's no concern, no eating, no drinking. And so therefore there's no concern of inebriation. So now the Kohanim should be able to duchen now the whole day. That is Shitas Reb Meir. That's what we saw yesterday. And what we also saw yesterday is that there are two other opinions on the matter. There's the Shita Reb Yehuda and the Shita Reb Yossi. We went over them yesterday in the Braisa. Reb Yehuda Shita, I'll just go over this outside. Reb Yehuda Shita is that you're going to be duchening on Shacharis, and if there's a Mosav as well. And also... but not Mincha, not Ne'ilah. Okay, so that's Shitas Rav Yehuda. And then there's Shitas Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says yes for Ne'ilah, but no for Mincha. Okay, so three Shitas all together. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav. So we're going to pick it up where we left off yesterday. It is about a dozen lines from the bottom of the Amud. So Halacha Kirebi Meir. So the Gemara quotes B'Shem Rav that the Halacha is in fact like Rav Meir, that on a fast day, so you're duchening and you're duchening the whole day. So Rav Yochanan Amar Nagu Amke Rebbe Meir. Now Rav Yochanan says, yes, the Halacha is like Rebbe Meir, but not halachic Rebbe Meir, but rather nagu am ke Rebbe Meir. In a moment, we're going to highlight what the differences are. And Rava Amar Minaka Rebbe Meir, and Rava's of the position that Minaka Rebbe Meir. Now, what's the difference between those three positions? So the Gemara goes on to explain, Manda Amar Halacha Rebbe Meir. So the one who says that the halachas are Gemara Doshin Allah Bepirka. So what he's doing is that you are saying that that's the halacha, meaning it's established. And not only that, but you go to Shir, and you can announce to everyone that the halacha is like Rebbe Meir. Mandam minag. If in fact you say that the minag is like Rebbe Meir, so what does that mean? It means lo darshinan. However, or rimarinan. So we're not going to darshan. We're not going to publicly announce the halacha is like Rebbe Meir. But if someone asks you halachic shaila, you say yeah, we go like Rebbe Meir. O mandam nahagu. Now, if you go like Rava that says minag Rebbe Meir, so what does that mean? So a rule on Marina, you're not paskin like Reb Meir. But if someone wants to rule like Reb Meir, so you don't have to turn them around. So basically, it's the level of excitement in terms of how to what degree we paskin like Reb Meir. If you say halacha, we're really excited. We're going to publicly announce it. If you just simply say nahagu, so that means that we're less enthused by the idea of paskin like Reb Meir. And if you say like Rava minag kereb Meir, it means that there's really no enthusiasm whatsoever. And basically, the only thing we're really saying is that if someone went ahead and passed like Reb Meir and duchen in the afternoon, okay, we'll allow it. We won't tell them to have to go daven again. Okay, so that is all according to the Shita of Rav, that the halacha falls like Reb Meir, and it's just a question of degree of how enthusiastically we're endorsing Reb Meir. However, Rav Nachman Amar halacha ke Rav Yossi. So Rav Nachman's of the position that the halacha is like Rav Yossi v'halacha, Kireb Yossi. And then the Gemara says, sounds like some later Amoraic edition, whatever. The Gemara says, yeah, the halacha is in fact like Reb Yossi. So Reb Yossi taught us back in the Braisa that we're going to be duchening during Ne'ilah, but not during Mincha. Now, Viha Idna, but the Gemara continues this discussion, and nowadays, my time of Parsha Kona Yadayim b'minchasa ta'anisa. So you know, Kohanim actually duchen in Mincha on the fast day. Oh, okay. So, Viha Idna, so nowadays. Okay, good. So again, the Gemara obviously was dealing with the Tkufa, where duchening was common. It was done daily. And in a fast day, not only was it done in the morning, it was done in the afternoon as well. And during Mincha, and during the Ne'ilah. So the Gemara says nowadays, so they're duchening even at Mincha. Now that's a little bit strange because we just got done saying the halacha is like Reb Yossi, and Reb Yossi taught us that they'll be duchening during the Ne'ilah if in fact there's a Ne'ilah. But they're not duchening during Mincha. And nowadays, the Gemara says, we are in fact duchening during Mincha. How did that come to be? So the Gemara goes on to explain, Kevin de Besamach Lishkiasa Chamaka Parshi, Ketfilas Na Ne'ilah Damya. So the Gemara says, because on a fast day, so when are you davening in Mincha? So you're davening Mincha later, right? The schedule of Mincha on a fast day is a little bit different than it is during the rest of the week. Now, exactly what that means, it's not perfectly clear, meaning during the rest of the week, aren't you also davening Mincha later, or at least you could daven Mincha later? Meaning, yes, there's an earlier time that you could daven Mincha, but there's also a later time that you could daven Mincha as well. You could daven Mincha the beginning of the afternoon, the end of the afternoon. Okay, but for whatever reason, and it's not perfectly clear to me, that on a fast day, so your Mincha is going to be coming later, at a later point in time. Maybe because it's associated with the Ne'ilah, that's what it sounds like from Rashi. Point being is that since Mincha on a fast day is done at an unusual time, so there's no reason to make a gzera. Remember, what was Rav Yossi's concern? Is that if we had the Kohanim duchening on Mincha on a fast day, so the Hamonam are going to look at that and they're going to say, oh, okay, fine, so you duchen during Mincha, I get it. And so they'll just duchen Mincha every day, not realizing, not recognizing the fact that Mincha of a fast day is different than Mincha of a regular day. Okay, that was Rav Yossi's concern. And the Gemara says, okay, to sidestep that concern, since Mincha on a fast day is done at an unusual time, so therefore, there's no reason for that concern. Okay, Adkan. Dekule Alma. Continuing now in the Gemara. So, there have been a lot of assumptions that are going into this discussion, and the Gemara wants to know, we've been saying now, so for a good part of yesterday, and now 9 minutes of this morning, is that, you know, once a Kohen's intoxicated, they can't duchen. So, dekule amma mia shikor aser benesias kapayim enahan emili. And the Gemara wants to know, where is this coming from? Meaning, what is duchening? Is it a voda? Now, in a moment, we're going to suggest yes. Okay? Not enthusiastically, but we're going to suggest yes. Now, it's a really difficult to say that it's a form of a voda. It's done bizman azeh, without a base of mikdash, outside the base of mikdash. So, it's hard to call it a voda. So we know that Kohanim can't do the avoda while intoxicated. That we know. In fact, one of the original Kohanim, two of the original Kohanim lost their lives, perhaps for that very reason. So that's for sure true, but we're not talking about avodah. We're talking about nisias kapayim. So what exactly is the issue? What's the source of that? So the Gemara over here. Minan, immediately, where do we know this from? Amar of Yeshua, Malevi, Mishum, Bar Kapar, Lama, Nismecha, Parshas, Kohen, Mevarach, LeParshas, Nazir. So, where are you going to find Dochenix? You're going to find in Parshas Naso. And where in Parshas Naso? So, it's right up against the Parsha of Nazir. So, Lomar. So, over here, we have now what's called, it's a Hekesh. It's not exactly a Hekesh. In other words, there are Parshios next to each other. Right? Hekesh is typically when they're in the same Pasuk together. Okay, over here, the Parshios next to one another, maybe we'll call it Smuchin, regardless. The idea is that in Parshios Naso, the two Parshios are next to one another. So, Man Nazir Asur B'Yayin, Af Kohen Mevarach Asur B'Yayin. So, just like Nazir is prohibited in wine, so too a Kohen is Asur B'Yayin. So, a Kohen Mevarach is Asur B'Yayin. Okay, so it's based on Smuchin. So, the Gemara says, really? So, the Smichos Parshios of Nazir and Kohen, the Gemara says, what? Maskef la'avua, the Rabbi Zevra, amela ushia barzavdi, iman Nazir asa b'chartzan, avkon mevarach asa b'chartzan. Well, you know, Nazir is not allowed to eat grapes. Grapes. Right? Not the skins, not the seeds, grapes. So you're telling me that a Kohen mevarach is not allowed to eat grapes. Right? Is that correct? So I'm Rav Yitzchak, I'm a kra, lishar so levarach b'shmo. So ma mishareis muter b'chartzan, avkon mevarach muter b'chartzan. Okay, so here's where the Gemara is getting as close as possible to connect Birchas Kohanim Duchening to Avoda. All right, the Pasuk says, Lish are so to serve, Ulevarach Bishmo. Meaning, so these are part of the mission statements of Kohanim. And so since in this Pasuk, this is a Hekesh. So in this Pasuk, we have both Sheirus, that's service, and Levarach Bishmo, that's benching, that's Duchening. So Ma Misharis Mutar B'Chatzan, Afkoi Mevarach Mutar B'Chatzan. So just like a Kohen is doing, the Avoda is allowed to eat grapes, meaning obviously it's a fruit. It's not intoxicating. So too, the Kohen Mevarich is also allowed to eat grapes as well. So ima misharis ba'mom lo, af Kohen Mevarich ba'mom lo. So the Gemara says, interesting. So you really want to go with this Hekesh comparing Avoda to Duchening. Well, you know, a Kohen who's a ba'mom can't do the Avoda. So now you want to tell me that a Kohen ba'mom can't Duchen? So, Av Kohen Mevarach Ba'mum Lo, is that what you really want to suggest? So the Gemara says, Ha'it Kishla Nazir. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we have the Hekesh of Nazir. So, Umay Chazista Makshat Lakula, Ikishla Chumra. So the Gemara says, okay, so now what we just did is that we took the Hekesh and we literally just, we reversed course, meaning previously we said, well, a Nazir can't drink wine, a Kohen and Mevarach can't drink wine as well. To which the Gemara says, no, that's not true, because then that would also result in grapes and in a Kohen Mevarach not being able to eat grapes. The Gemara says, okay. So the reason why a Kohen can't be intoxicated and Duchen is because of a Hekesh to the Avoda, of Mishares. So the Gemara says, okay, so what are we going to do with our Hekesh to Nazir? Ah, that comes to tell us that just like a Nazir can be a Ba'amum, so too a Kohen Mevarach can be a Ba'amum as well. So now we see what we just did? We went now, took the Hekesh, and we now are using it as a Kula, not as a Chumrah. So the Gemara says, "Umay chaz is the makash lekula, akish lechumra." That's exactly what bothers the Gemara. So now the hekesh is coming as a kula, not as a chumra. So the Gemara says, "Asmachta ninu midrabbanu lekula." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, it's just an asmachta, meaning that this is not really the source. It's not the makor ha'alacha. The makor ha'alacha is now from the Gemara. It sounds like it's a din derabbanan. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara." Or alternatively, could be that the Rabbanan the Gemara is making reference to here over here is just simply the drushas that are being used to prove this halacha. However you want to say it, what the Gemara results in, the Gemara arrives at, is that the reason why a Kohen cannot duchen while intoxicated, so that's just simply a halacha, call it a halacha de Rabbanan, call it a deraisa. And the limudim that we just went through, that's just an asmachta. It's just a way for the chachamim to connect the halachas over to the psukim in Chumash, but it's not the makor halacha. Therefore, what just came out from the Gemara over here is that, let's say you have a kohen baal mum, so he could duchen. Okay, now it happens to be that we know this is in fact the case. So let's say you're a kohen and you're left-handed. So just in giving an example. So a kohen left-handed, so he can't do the avoda, right? Left-handed is a mum. Right? No disrespect to any left-handed people. Okay? In other words, some of my best friends are left-handed. I don't know, maybe. Some of my favorite pitchers are left-handed. That for sure is true. So left-handed, left-handed person is a Baal Mum. So left-handed Kohen now can't duchen. That's not true, right? I know left-handed Kohanim, and they go up and they duchen. In fact, you can see Tosus right over here. Tosus is very strong with this conclusion that a Baal Mum can in fact duchen. And Tosus says, and I'll go even one step further. If you take a look at the top Tosus over here, and look about six lines down, Imkein, Nira, the linyan is yes kapaim, Kohen Baal Mum, no se kapav. Okay, good. So a Kohen Baal Mum can duchen. Umikan. And Tosfos actually says, let's go and extend this even one point further. Umikan yesh lochich, the Kohen, Shehemir, Daso, Nosei, Kapav. V'kasholisa, Kapav, v'likros betorah, k'mo shelo hemir. Let's say you have a Kohen who's Hemir Das. He falls off the reservation. He rejects his Yiddishkeit. Now, I understand, if he's rejecting his Yiddishkeit, what is he doing? Duchening? But the point over here is as follows. We know that a Kohen who's Hemir Das, so he can't do the Avodah. Right, the number of gemaras that speak to this idea that the Kohen has to be a Baal Emunah. He has to believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And if he doesn't and rejects it, so he can't do the avoda. So Tosfos says, but what about duchening? So Tosfos says, duchening is different. We see that a Kohen Baal Mum can duchen. So Kohen is Hemer Das also could duchen as well. Okay, that's Tosfos right over here on our Amud. Okay, so what comes out now of the first part of today's daf? We're done with the first section, and what comes out now is that in terms of duchening on a fast day, so the Gemara says that the halacha nowadays is that we're going to be duchening when there's shachris. Obviously, you duchen every shachris. Again, Ashkenazim put that aside. You're duchening every shachris, and then in terms of mincha, typically no, because of shechris, but if it's mincha of a fast day, so then the Gemara has a discussion, a machlokus amongst the Tanaim. The Gemara says that nowadays they do. The Gemara discusses why, in fact, that's so. If, in fact, we're passing like Rav Yossi, which Rav Nachman does, the Gemara gives the reason why that is, in fact, so. And then Gemara then concluded on a discussion of Menahan Emili. How do I know that a Kohen who is inebriated is not allowed to duchen? How do we know that from? And the Gemara struggled a little bit in terms of arriving at a source of that halacha. And then we made a distinction about a Kohen who is, on one hand, not allowed to duchen while under the influence. On the other hand, a Baal Mum Kohen is allowed to duchen. And a Kohen, according to Tosfos, who's Hemer Das, is allowed to duchen. Okay. Elohein Ma'amados, Lefishin Amar Tzavis B'nei Yisrael. My Ka'amar. So the first thing Gemara wants to know is just simply, how do I read the Mishnah? Meaning the Mishnah, after talking about duchening, then the Mishnah says, Elohein Ma'amados. These are the Ma'amados. And Lefishin Amar. The Mishnah does not seem to flow, and the Gemara now is going to create a flow in the Mishnah. My Kamar, Hachi Kamar. Elohein Ma'amados. So these are the Ma'amados. And then, here's what we're going to insert in the Mishnah, just so that the Mishnah reads a little bit better. Uma'atam tiknu ba'ma'amados. Why were the Chachamim Misaki Ma'amados all together? Liv Ishinem, Artsavis Bene Yisov, Amatalem, Iskarbani Lachmili, Shahi Behech, Karbano Shalom, Krav, Vuhuein, Omed, Agabav. This is our Karban. And meanwhile, the Jewish people are not standing over the Karban. So Hitkinu Nevi'im Rishonim. So the original Nevi'im said, Asrim Varba Mishmar, so call Mishmar, Hayamamad B'Yushalayim, Shal Kohanim, Vishal Levim, Vishal Yisraelim. And what you're going to get is representation. So you'll have representation of the Jewish people right there. Higiazman Mishmar Lalos, Kohanim, Levim, Olim, Liushalayim. Okay, good. And now, when it's time for the Mishmar to go up, so you're also going to have the Ma'amad. The Ma'amad is representation of Yisrael, who are going to be standing over the Karban on behalf of all of the Jewish people. Okay, so all we just did is we just created a connector connecting the point of the Elohein Ma'amados, these are the Ma'amados, and then the Mishnah launches into an explanation of why. So we're just adding a bridge in the Mishnah. Oh, the Mishnah is really first asking, why are there Ma'amados all together? Okay, good. Tan Rabbanan. Okay. Esen v'arba mishmaros. Now, right, what the girsa over here is probably b'Yushalayim. Ushtemes Rebbe Yericho. Okay. So we have a brisa, and the brisa says there are 24 mishmaros and 12 in Yericho. And now we already know. We've gone over this numerous times. A mishmar. So a mishmar is a subsection of Kohanim. Kohanim are broken up into 24 mishmaros. And now in a rotation system, so you're going to have a mishmar going up to Yerushalayim for working a week, a full week from Shabbos to Shabbos. And then the following week, the next week, you'll have the next mishmar, v'chule, v'chule. And you keep doing that now so that the 24 mishmaros are going to be operating on a 24-week system in a given year. So you'll have them working approximately at least two times a year. meaning that it's now 48 weeks. Okay, good. So that's the Mishmar system. The Braisa, however, is a little bit confusing to say the least, where the Braisa says there are 24 Mishmars, and then the Braisa talks about 12 Mishmars in Yericho. What's going on over here? So, and that's exactly the Gemara's question. Shemus Rebbe Yericho, Nefishin Lutuva. So that's now 24 plus 12. That's 36 Mishmars. What's going on over here? The number is 24. So Elish Shemus Rebbe Mehem Yericho. So the Gemara says, no. What happens is that when a Mishmar goes to Yerushalayim, actually the Mishmar now gets subdivided. Each Mishmar then gets subdivided almost in half. Okay, where? He gives man Mishmar, lalos chetzi ha-Mishmar ha-Yo'oleh me'er Tisrael le-Yerushalayim. So half the Mishmar goes to Yerushalayim. Ve'chetzi ha-Mishmar ha-Yo'oleh. Now either the word is mi-Yericho or li-Yericho. Kidei she'yisap g'mayim ha-Mazon lachem she-Yerushalayim. In order to provide food and drink for the brothers in Yerushalayim. So basically now what happens is that as the Mishmar is going to do Yerushalayim to do the Avoda, so now the Mishmar is actually broken into two parts, right? And of the two parts, one is actually going to be doing the Avoda, and the other one's going to be schlepping food and water from Yericho. Apparently Yericho is a destination in terms of getting resources, right? Drink and food. And so the half of the Mishmar is going to be doing that job. Okay, it still is a little bit of a challenge to read that into the Braisa. The Braisa says there are 24 Mishmars, 12 are in Yericho. So now we understand a little bit better, but it's still a little bit of a challenge to read into the Braisa. 12 doesn't mean 12 Mishmars. 12 means just simply 12 as a function of 24, meaning half. Okay, it's still, when all said and done, and Rashi really does make an attempt over here to read it into the Braisa. Right, I encourage you to look at Rashi and read it inside. But anyway, that's the basic idea. The basic idea is that of each Mishmar, half is going to Yericho. It sounds a little bit funny, by the way. In other words, there can't be anybody else supplying the Kohanim with food and drink from Yericho, meaning it has to be the Kohanim themselves, and the Mishmar has to be subdivided into two parts. Okay, I don't fully understand the system, but I bet you it's a function of the fact that I never saw it. So if I saw it in operation, I'd probably understand a lot better why you actually need the Kohanim themselves to be the supply chain for the Kohanim, the other half of the Mishmar, who's actually doing the Avoda. I'm Rav Yehuda Mashmo, Kohanim v'Levim, v'Yisrael, ma'akvin es ha-karban. Okay, so you need them, meaning they're ma'akiv as a karban. We're going to be waiting. In other words, if everyone's not in their place, the Kohanim Levim and even the Yisraelim, now obviously by the Kohanim, meaning that's a no-brainer. They're doing the Avoda. So obviously we're going to wait for Kohanim. No one else could do the Avoda. But the Chiddush is even the Levim and even Yisraelim. That's obviously a tremendous Chiddush. Meaning that this system now of Ma'amados, where you're having representation of Klal Yisrael in the Beis HaMikdash, so you would have said, okay, good. Look, it's symbolic. They're representing. Obviously, the carbon's on behalf of everybody. If the Yisraelim are not in their place, we're going to go through it anyway. That's what I would have thought. Chiddush is no. We're going to wait. Now, when the Gemara says we're going to wait, I'm going to ask a question. I don't know the answer. To what degree are we going to wait? Meaning, if there are no Yisraelim over there, are we just going to call off the carbon altogether? It's difficult to imagine. Meaning the Kohanim are doing the Avodah, Levim are doing the Shir. Am I postponing it in total? Or when the Gemara just simply says Ma'akiv just simply means is that if they're a little bit late, so we'll wait a little bit. Okay, I'm struggling, obviously. I can't imagine that the carbon's going to not be brought all together just because the Israelim weren't there. Okay. V'masis Santana in a Braisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Kohanim, Levim, V'kli Shir Ma'akiv as the carbon. So over here, so the Braisa says it a little bit differently, and that is that with Kohanim Levim, and also the instruments, because we know that they're shir. In the fifth parak of Sukkah, we spent a good amount of time talking about the shir that accompanies the karbanos, specifically the nesachim. So the Gemara says, "B'maikim eflugi." What is that? The source of the machlokas? Mar savar ikar shir bepeh, or mar savar ikar shir bekli. And we go back to the fifth parak of Sukkah, and we revisit an issue, which is that we know that shir is an integral part of the avoda when you're pouring the nesachim onto the mizbech. So it's done with the shir. The levim are going to be singing. Now they're also going to be instruments as well. Now are those instruments critical, or are they there just to accompany? So that's a machlokas in the Gemara and Sukkah, and the Gemara just simply lays out that's going to be talui on whether or not we're waiting for the instruments. If for whatever reason the instruments didn't make it here, only the Levia made it, so are we waiting for the instruments? So if Iker Shir is Bekli, yeah, we're going to wait for the instruments. If Iker Shir is Bepeh, we're not waiting for the instruments. Adkan. Amar Rav Chana Bar Guria, Amarav, Moshe Tikal Emlitzram, Shmona Mishmar. So this system of Mishmaris. So what is the history of the Mishmaris, how the Kohanim are broken up? Now, here we'll say something obvious. In other words, there are 24 Mishmaris. So at the beginning, right, when you had Aaron, Elazar, Isamar. So they had Mishmaros of 24 then. There just simply weren't that many Kohanim in the early generation. So the Gemara over here is going to give us a history lesson of the Mishmaros. So when Moshe was Mesakein Mishmaros, so he was Mesakein Shmona Mishmaros, Arba Me'elazar, Vidalin Me'isamar. So it's going to be 4 and 4. 4 from Elazar's family, 4 from Isamar's family. Ba Shmuel Ve'emidam Al Sheshesrei. Now, Shmuel, which obviously is much later, and hundreds of years later, so is the end of the Tkufa of the Shoftim. The period of the Shoftim went about 400 years. So now about 400 years later, so obviously you have a lot more Kohanim. So Shmuel was Mesakin that we're going to move up the number from 8 Mishmaros to 16 Mishmaros. Ba David Ve'emidam Al Esrim Va'arba. And along comes David, and he moves it up even more. Now here, by the way, the historical gap is much smaller, meaning to go from Shmuel to David, so that's not hundreds of years. That's the next generation. So, okay, so that it's a little bit strange to explain historically how we made the big jump from 16 to 24 when we're going from Shmuel to David. Okay, so that definitely needs a better explanation, but okay, right now I'm just giving over the facts as presented by the Gemara. Shenemar, and how do I know this? Mishnas Arbaim Lamachus David Nidjashuvim Sabahem Gibore Achayo Biyazar Gilad. Okay, and the Gemara quotes Pesukim from Divrei Yamim that speaks to this idea that there were just more, and therefore the Mishmaros were, more Mishmaros were added. So now, according to the Brisa that we just saw together, so it goes up. It's not a Brisa, sorry, it's a Memra, but still. So it started with 8 with Moshe, and then it went to 16 with Shmuel, and then it went to 24 with David HaMelech. Meitzvei, the Gemara is going to challenge based on the following Brisa, Moshe Tikkun LaMisrael, Shmona Mishmaros. So the Brisa starts off at the same starting point where it's 8 with Moshe, Arba Melazar Ve'arba Mi'isamer, Ba David Shmuel Ve'hemidam Al Esrim Ve'arba. Now David and Shmuel come along, and they move it from 8 to 24. So in this Brisa, so we don't get this in-between stage where it goes 8, 16, 24. It goes from 8 to 24. Shenemar, Hema Yasa David Shmuel, Haroa Ben Munasam. So again, more Pesukim and Divrei Yamim. Hachi Kamar. So the Gemara says, okay, but this Brisa does not necessarily have to be put against the Memra of Rav. Yisarashol David Shmuel, Haramasi, Hemidam Al Esrim Va'arba. Okay, so just simply, what you could simply say is that, look, we went from 8, we ended up at 24. There could be an in-between stage of 16. Okay. Tanya Edoch, the Gemara quotes another Brisa. Moshe Tikkun LaMisrael Sheshesrei Mishmaros. So this Brisa clearly is not in agreement. This Brisa starts off that Moshe had 16 Mishmaros. Okay, that's 8 more than previously reported. Shmonim Elazar, Shmonim Isamar. So 8 and 8 divide amongst the two sons of Aaron. Okay, Sherabu B'nei Elazar, Al B'nei Isamar. Now, in terms of how the generations went, so Elazar just simply had more children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, etc., etc. So, Chalkam Ve'emidam Al Esrim Va'arba. So now, what's going to happen is that it's going to go to 24, where Elazar is going to get an additional 8 Mishmar. Shenamar, the Pasuk says, Ve'im Su B'nei Elazar, Rabim L'Rashay HaGvarim. So here, more Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. These we looked up this morning. So, Min B'nei Isamar. And it just happens to be that genealogically, Elazar had more children than that of Isamar. Aviachakum levnei Elazar, Rashim leves avo sheish asar, uvnei Isamar leves avasam shmona. And here the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim makes it really clear that Elazar ends up with 16 of the mishmaros, and Isamar ends up with 8. Now veomer beis av echad achuz leElazar, veechad achuz leIsamar. And then the Gemara quotes another pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, which basically is that Elazar doubled. And Isamar did not double. Now, my va'omer v'chite makiyechid d'nefishi b'nei Elazar hachanami d'nefishi b'nei Isamar shmonim yikara arba havu. And the second pasuk is coming to teach me the following. Here's what I would have suggested. I would have suggested that the original numbers is that Elazar was 8, Isamar was 4. And then the psukim and divrei hayamim tell me that it's 16 and 8 because both of them got doubled. We could have made that argument. But that's exactly the point. The second pasuk is coming to teach me no. That Isamar never moved. In other words, they started with 8 Mishmaros, they ended with 8 Mishmaros. It's Elazar that went from 8 to 16. And the reason why is because Elazar just simply had genealogically a lot more children than that of Isamar. Okay, so what comes out now is that in this Brisa, I'm sorry, did I finish reading? Good. So that's what the second pasuk in Devarim is coming to teach me. Anyway, what comes out now clearly is that Moshe set up not 8 total, but actually 16 total. 8 for Elazar and 8 for Yisamar, and that's connected the statement of Rav. So to Yifta the Rav, Chama Berguria, Amalecha Rav, Chama Berguria, Tanaihi, Vana Damriki Haitana, Damar Shmona. So Rav Chama Berguria will just simply tell you, look, you're right, that Brisa and I are not in agreement with one another, but there are other Brises out there that are in agreement with me. It's a Machlokas Tanaim. Okay, so I side with the position that it started off as 8 in total, 4 for Elazar, 4 for Yisamar, and then eventually it goes from 8 to 16 to 24. Okay, why all this becomes critical information? The Gemara is having a machlokas about it, machlokas tanayim. Where do we start? Where do we end up? Meaning we know where we all land on the same place. It's 24 mishmaros. But why does this become very important information? Gemara dedicates almost an amud of real estate to this topic. So I don't know. I don't know why it doesn't sound like halach lamaisa. Okay. I'm not sure. I mean, it does give us good pshat in the psukim. So sometimes the Gemara says, for that alone, it's worth it to debate these issues. Okay. We are on the bottom. We're on Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph. We are at the very bottom. 2 lines from the bottom. Tan Rabbanan Arba Mishmaros Alu Minagola. This is information. This is a topic that we've covered a number of times. But let's do it again. Bayisheni. So the building of the second base of Mikdash after 70 years of being in the Galus. So Ezra and Nehemiah are now bringing the Jewish people up. So we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. We're going to build the base of Mikdash. Who's ready to come with me? So unfortunately, so not a lot of people answered the call of Ezra and Nehemiah to build rebuild the second base of Mikdash and to make Aliyah. Okay. History repeats itself numerous times. And so here we are now in the Galus. We have Eretz Yisrael and we're living in Galus. So what is wrong with us? So the question really is, what's wrong with me? But that's neither here nor there. So anyway, but history does end up repeating itself, and so very few of the Jewish people ended up going back to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild. And I'm not just talking about the Jews; I'm talking about Kohanim and Levim as well. In other words, the vast majority of them remained in Bavel. So I can't tell you what the total population was at that time, but I can tell you, based on the Pesukim, that approximately 42,000 people made their way back to Eretz Yisrael, and I could say comfortably that it's a really small percentage of the total Jewish population. And so, of the Kohanim, so we know that there were 24 Mishmaros. How many of them came back? 4 is the correct answer. Only 4 of the 24 came back. And so, that's what we're hearing about right now. Tanu Rabbanan. Arba Mishmaros Alu Minagola V'Alu V'Elohein. So there are 4 Mishmaros that came back together with Ezra and Nehemiah, and they are Yedaya, Charim, Pashchor, Ve'Emar. Okay, and Pashchor becomes a bit of an issue because Rashi points out he's not one of the original Chavdal Mishmaros. If you wanna acquaint yourselves with the Chavdal Mishmaros, we went over this earlier in the Masechta. So you go to the 24th chapter of Divrei Hayamim. Okay, that's a coincidence, meaning that we didn't do the chapters. Chapter, we don't get credited for the chapters, but it's just a good way to remember. If you want to see the Chavdal Mishmar, so it's the 24th perek of Divrei Yamim Aleph. Anyway, so and Pashchor is actually not mentioned over there. Okay, it's a bit of an issue, but regardless, so we have only four of them came back. Amdu Neviim Shebe Nahem. And so the Nevi'im said, okay, so 4 Mishmaros, we don't want to lose the system of 24. We want to keep that system. On the other hand, we only have 4 Mishmaros, so what are we going to do? So now what we're going to do, right, we're going to take shares, and we're going to split the shares. Okay, and that's exactly what they did. V'chalkum v'hamidim al esrim v'arba. So what happens now, and this is the way Rashi describes it, is that now every of the 4 families that came back to Eretz Yisrael, so each one of them got 6 shares. Oh, okay, fine. And so now, so if you were just a 24th of a shareholder, so you ended up becoming a 25% shareholder in the Mishmaros. Balum v'nasim b'kalpi ba yedaya v'nata chalka v'chel chavero sheish v'charim v'nata chalka v'chel chavero sheish v'chein pashchor v'chein emar. And they did it via lottery in terms of which shares you're going to be getting. But in other words, each one of them received an additional 5 Mishmaros. V'chein hisnu nevim shebeneim shafilo yo yariv rosh mishmar. So la lo yitcha yidayim imkamo, ela yidayi ikar v'yeho yariv tafalo. Now let's say Yeho Yariv decides to come back to Eretz Yisrael. So Yeho Yariv, right, unbeknownst to us, but now we get to learn together, Yeho Yariv was originally mishmar number one. Okay. But he didn't come back to Eretz Yisrael with the aliyah of Ezra and Nehemiah. So now Yeho Yariv is never going to get that one slot again. Meaning that one slot is always going to stay with Yedaya, and Yeho Yariv is going to always be, Tufel is always going to be secondary to Yedaya. Now they are going to get a chelik. This is Rashi's pshat over here in our Gemara. Yeho Yariv is not going to lose their mishmar. If and when they do come back, they are going to get their mishmar. They're just never going to get that number one slot. Okay. Okay, now, Ma'amados include really two components. Okay, so you are the Jewish representatives of the Jewish people who are going to be in Yerushalayim standing over the Karban. So, okay, good, but what are you doing? So the answer is really two things. You're fasting and Kriyas HaTorah in davening. Okay, so in other words, you're making together a minyan. And the minyan is going to be made up of, I don't know what else is added to the tefillah, but for sure there's going to be Kriyas HaTorah and there's fasting. But you're not fasting the whole week. You're not fasting on Sunday. You're not fasting on Friday for reasons which we're going to articulate at the end of today's daf. But Monday through Thursday you're fasting and there's Kriyas HaTorah. What are we laning? Oh, good. So v'Yisrael shebaosa mishmar miskansa marim v'korin b'maisa b'reisha. So we already learned in the Mishnah. In yesterday's daf, that they're reading from Maisa Bereishis. So, Minanimili. Why are they reading from Maisa Bereishis? The Gemara gives an answer, a fundamental answer. I'm Rav Yaakov Barach, I'm Rav Asi, Yomalei Ma'amados, Lo Niskaimu Shamayim V'aretz. Without the Ma'amados, there wouldn't be Shamayim V'aretz. Shenemar, Vayomar Hashem Elokim Bamei Da Ki Arishena, Amar Avram Ribono Sha'olam. So the classic discussion, conversation that was taking place between Avram Avinu and Akash Baruch Hu at Bris Ben HaBesarim. So a promise was made that you're going to get Eretz Yisrael. And Avram's request is, Bame'edaki Arishena. Well, how do I know I'm going to inherit it? So the Gemara, on a number of occasions, takes a number of different takes on this exchange between Avram and Akash Baruch Hu. But right now, we're going to be giving the following, the Gemara is going to give us the following Yisod. Ribono Shel Olam, Shem Yisrael, Chotim Lefanecha, Ata Oseh Lahem Kedor HaMabul, Kedor HaFlaga. So Avram Avinu asks, look, we've seen the world get destroyed not once over, but twice over, once with a flood and another time with dispersion. How do we know this is not going to happen again? So Amar Le Lav. So Kadosh Baruch Hu just simply said, no, it's not going to happen again. Amar Lefan Rebono Shalom Hodienu B'Meh Irashena. So Avram Avinu says, but what's the assurances that we're going to have? So Amar Le, so Akash Baruch Hu says, Khali Egla Mishuleshes, Ve'ez Mishuleshes V'chule. And so Akash Baruch Hu said, take Karbanos, meaning that's the actual Pesukim, that's Bris Ben HaBesarim. So Amar Lefan of Rebbeinu Shalom, Tenech B'zman Shebeis HaMikdash Chaim, B'zman She'en HaBeis HaMikdash Chaim, Ma Tehei Aleihem. So Avram says, okay, but I also know through Nevuah that there are going to be times in Jewish history where there's not going to be a Beis HaMikdash. In fact, unfortunately, the majority of Jewish history is without a Beis HaMikdash than with a Beis HaMikdash. So what do the Jewish people do then? So Amalo Kvar Tikanti Lam Seder Kabanos. So Akash Baruch Hu says there's going to be Seder Kabanos, meaning what we call the section of Tefillah called Kabanos. Bizman Shekorin Behem Lefanai Mala Ani Aleim Ki Ilu Hikruvim Lefanai Vani Mochalehem Al Kol Avonoseim. So you read the Kabanos and the Mechila is going to be achieved just by reading the Kabanos. Okay, the Musar is self-evident. In other words, that I'm speaking to myself. In other words, we should definitely spend more time, effort, energy on the Karbanos. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. And the point over here is that Karbanos obviously become a critical component of us sustaining in this world. And so it's tantamount to Bris HaOlam, meaning without the Karbanos, we just simply would not sustain. As a result of that, consequently, so the Ma'amados were representing the Jewish people during the Karbanos, so they're reading from Maisa Bereishis. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Now over here, you see a lot of people are involved in the Girsos of the Gemara. Okay, I'll just read the Gemara Kipshuto, and I'll explain what I think is the correct pshat in the Braisa. Gemara quotes Anshe Mishmar Hayim Mispalam Al Karban Achem She's Kaba Baratzon Vanshe Maimen Miskansel Beis Hakness V'Yoshvin Dalat Tanios. Okay, so you have in this Brisa on Shemishma and Shemaimon. Probably, I'm not saying this definitively, but probably the correct shot over here is that we're discussing the Yisraelim, right? In other words, we know the places already, the Kohanim, Levim. Kohanim are doing the Avoda, Levim are doing the Shir, and they are helping the Kohanim. Okay, that's clear. Probably what the Brisa is discussing is the role of the Yisraelim. Now, over here, it sounds like they're in two different locations. I mentioned this yesterday, and I get to say it again today. And I looked at the Rambam this morning, and the Rambam absolutely gives this viewpoint, which is that Ma'amados were actually in two different locations. In other words, there was a Ma'amados in Yerushalayim, right, as we already described earlier, but now this is what the Brisa seems to be describing as well. And on top of that, there was another section of Ma'amados that were in their hometown, who assembled in Shul, and again, the Ma'amados were fasting and Kriyas HaTorah. You don't have to be in Yerushalayim to do that. So now exactly how the system works and who goes to Yerushalayim and who stays in their hometown, that part I don't know. But that's what the Brisa seems to be describing over here. And again, the Rambam certainly gives this point of view, that the Ma'amados were both in Yerushalayim and also in another section were in their hometown. And the Brisa goes on to say, "V'yoshin dalataniyos b'sheni b'shabbos b'shishi b'rivi uvechamishi," and they're going to be fasting Monday through Thursday. I think it's fair to suggest they eat at the nights. In other words, four consecutive fast days is not tenable. So it means that they're fasting daytime, not nighttime. But anyway, Monday through Thursday, and b'sheni al yardei hayam. Now they have specific petitions on each of the days. It actually corresponds to Maisa Bracious. Meaning, so Monday, Monday. So what was exciting about Monday? Water was introduced on Monday. So they're davening al yordei yom. So those that are going into the ocean. Bishlishi al hochei midbaros. Now, what happens on Tuesday of Maisa Bracious? The land was uncovered. So hochei midbaros, they're davening for hochei midbaros on Tuesday. Berivi al askara, shalotipal al tinokos. Now, on Wednesday, they're davening so that children do not get sick. So the ma'oros were set up. The Gemara on a number of occasions talks about how the celestial bodies are associated with likui, with affliction, and Rashi over here writes on our daf. Rashi writes that the word ma'oros could be understood also as me'era, like a curse. So that it's an appropriate time to daven that children do not get sick on Wednesday, and bechamishi on Thursday al ubros amenikos. Women who are pregnant and women who are nursing. Okay, and that they're successful in child delivering and also nursing as well. And why Thursday? So Rashi points out because Thursday is really, obviously Adam and Chava were not created on Thursday, they were created on Friday, but on Thursday you had the beginning of animals and the mitzvah of procreation is introduced to us on Thursday. Okay.
I heard that these four things correspond to the four things you've been going for.
Very good.
The Tinoch that's born is compared to a prisoner, but everything else.
That's very good. I like that. Okay, if you could tell me who said it, that even better. But that's really good. Okay, over erev Shabbos lo yom mitzanim ibnei kavod Shabbos and kavod chomer b'Shabbos atzma. Now Friday is not an appropriate time to fast because kavod Shabbos, and as far as Shabbos is concerned, kavod chomer. Meaning, if you're not fasting on Friday, they're for sure not fasting on Shabbos, even though the ma'amados span the whole week. Meaning, they're going from Sunday to Shabbos. Right. In other words, they are in line, their conjunction with the actual Mishmar. Okay. So now, Be'ech B'Shabbos, my time alone. But what's left out of the Brisa is an explanation why they're not fasting on Sunday. Like, why don't you fast on Sunday? So unfortunately for us in the Gullus, it's kind of like the question, what do you mean we're off on Sunday? how can you fast on Sunday? But that's a Gullus mentality. But anyway, the question stands. How come they're not fasting on Sunday? So I'm Rav Yochanan, Mimnei HaNotzrim. So Rav Yochanan says because of the Notzrim. Now, Notzrim is a term that we use to describe Christianity, but that would be a little bit challenging to understand because it would seem that this institution of Ma'amados well predated Christianity. Christianity only introduced as a religion, right, after or at the end of Churban Beis HaMikdash, whatever. In other words, it certainly would seem to indicate that it's not Christians as we know it, but it could very well simply be that Christianity really did take on a lot of the pagan customs, and included in the pagan customs is Sunday. meaning the idea that Sunday was this day, was this special day. Okay, and therefore what? And therefore we shouldn't fast because of the Notzrim. So how exactly does that work? So Rashi just simply says, Sha'osin also Yom Tov Shalahem. So Rashi is really sparse in terms of giving us an explanation of why it is that we shouldn't fast. But anyway, that's a Gemara. Gemara gives a second explanation, and that is, it's the third day post-surgery. Post-surgery, whose surgery? So Adam. Now, surgery could be understood in one of two ways. I would have suggested surgery in terms of, you know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for him on Friday. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took off its tzela, right? An appendage of Adam in order to make Chava. Rashi over here says it's even more than that, meaning he was created on Friday. Now we're, so therefore what? So we know that third day post-surgery, so that's the worst day. We know that from last week's Parsha. Okay, fine. So Sunday we are, and it's funny because obviously we're well past Adam and his first Sunday of Brias HaOlam. But nevertheless, the point is that that Sunday, embedded, encoded in that Sunday, is a certain chalisha. So we're weak on that Sunday. Okay, that's a second explanation. The Gemara gives a third explanation. So it's because we had a neshama yisera on Shabbos, and now we lost it. And to go from having a neshama yisera to fasting, well, that's really difficult. So damar yishlakish neshama yisera nitna bo ba'adam b'erev Shabbos, b'motzi Shabbos not lino, so mimenu shenemer Shabbos v'yinefash, kevin sheshabbos, vay of the nefesh. So we lost the Neshama Yisera, and so therefore it would be too difficult. Neshama Yisera, what is that? Rashi writes over here, Neshama Yisera is Shemarchivin Dato Lachilu Shtia. We're able to eat and drink a lot more on Shabbos than we are during the week as a result of the Neshama Yisera. Good. Obviously, that's just a starting in terms of giving an explanation of what Neshama Yisera is. Now, the third explanation of the Gemara over here definitely itself needs an explanation. You know, there are many times that we fast on Sunday, meaning Tisha B'Av very often comes out on a Sunday, either because it actually comes out on Sunday or because it's Shabbos, which is postponed to Sunday. So there are numerous times where we're going to be fasting on Sunday, and we don't explain and say, well, we can't fast on Sunday because it immediately follows a Shabbos. So why this is a good enough explanation in terms of why the Ma'amados don't fast on Sunday, so that it needs more. It needs more explanation. But anyway, what comes out over here is that in the second half of the daf, we introduced ourselves to the Ma'amados. There are a group of them in Yerushalayim, a group of them in their hometown. They're going to be laning from Kriyas. They're going to do Kriyas HaTorah for the days for that week of Ma'amados, and they're going to be fasting from Monday to Thursday, and they're going to be davening specifically for certain items from Monday to Thursday. And then a question of why they're not fasting on Friday, Kavod Shabbos, Shabbos itself, Kavod Chomer. Why are they fasting on Sunday? Gemara gives three answers to the question of why they don't fast on Sunday. Adkan kind of will stop over here, and tomorrow we'll talk about Kriyas HaTorah and other things.